Praise God.
Yes.
Let's pray a minute.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just give you the praise and glory for this morning. And Lord, I'm going to lift up Glenn and Carol and Joe and Carol and Lee and Joy. And just ask you to stir their hearts. I know you've called them, but Lord, there's even greater things than they're imagining that you put into us all the time. Lord, just stir them. And we give you thanks for that. Lord, just take these few minutes and bless everyone here. This is the day that you've made. We can rejoice and be glad in it and glad to hear your word. Just receive us today, Lord. Just pour your spirit into this place, and I give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'd like you to look at two different scriptures this morning. First of all, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We'll begin with verse number 1. Somebody holler when you're there.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Page 1430 if you're not there yet. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And that's Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, this is the scripture where the idea of separating someone into the ministry comes from. It is the church, by the Holy Spirit's leading, separated these men. The scripture sent them out as missionaries. We're not sending these guys out as missionaries. If they have that call at some time in their life, that's wonderful. But folks, we're blessed to have them right here in church.
Amen.
Amen. And we're just going to ordain them, set them apart for the work of the ministry. Okay? Now I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 1 there. Go down through verse 11. Amen. Chapter 5, starting with verse number 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Then when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. What a fishing trip. Hallelujah. What a fishing trip. I remember one time my father-in-law and I went fishing on the Shafalaya Basin outside of Baton Rouge, between Lafayette and Baton Rouge, and we filled up our boat with fish, not like this, but with a lot of fish, and it was a joyous occasion. We came home and gave fish to all our neighbors. That was quite a trip, and it just, you know, thrills your heart that you got dominion over those things. Hallelujah. In a few minutes, we're going to conduct an ordination service and install a new pastor, a new elder, and a new deacon. What a joyous occasion for all of us to acknowledge these men who have proven their spiritual integrity and have committed their life to service in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I believe that the scripture we just read in Luke is a very appropriate passage for this occasion. It's in these verses Jesus is calling forth leadership, specific men who will follow him in his ministry. As we examine the call of Peter in this text, we can readily identify the appropriate response to a call of God on our own lives. Amen. And because we want to give ample time to our ordination service, I just want to quickly look at three specific things, specific responses that Peter made when Jesus called him. First, Peter casts out his net after Jesus' command. Then Peter falls on his knees, before Jesus. And then Peter leaves everything to follow Jesus. Three words: obedience, humility, and servanthood. Obedience, humility, and servanthood. Now, let's take a moment to expand this thought. Make a little reference to myself. Okay? I have shelves of books here in my office that contain countless ideas about the church. Many of the books are on how to have a good and successful church. There are multitudes of shelves at my home that are filled with books. These books contain terrific ideas and testimonies concerning what other leaders have done and what has or hasn't worked for them. Now, brothers and sisters, years ago, I graduated from Bible college. I've also taken courses from other Bible schools and even schools for counseling. Three times I traveled to California to receive intensive church training through Jack Hayford's School of Pastoral Nurture. Later, I graduated with a doctorate degree in theology and biblical studies from Grace Bible College and Seminary. All of that, plus my secular education, wow, I'm tired. At one time, I felt like I was full of knowledge and information, and I may still be, but however, at 75 years of age, my recall has slowed down.
No way.
Yes way. Now, let's consider some of Jesus' disciples, okay? I would imagine Peter, Andrew, James, and John had many years of experience and a lot of training or education in regard to the fishing industry. That's who they were. They were fishermen. However, to the best of my knowledge, we don't know that Jesus had any previous fishing experience. Now, let me say this. Whenever somebody has an idea about how things ought to be done here at church, I quickly run it through the database in my brain. Through the categories of church growth and church history and biblical studies, and through my own personal experience. For example, and this is completely illogical, but I thought I could use this ludicrous idea since no one would ever suggest it, and that way I'll keep myself from getting in trouble, okay? So imagine someone suggesting that during the week we shut the plumbing off to the bathrooms to save money on water. Now my lightning quick mind would recall the church growth specialists that say the women's bathrooms and the nurseries are the most important facilities at the church.
Amen.
Therefore, we should keep them operational at all costs. At all costs. Amen. Now, I'm wondering right now how most of you would respond to such a suggestion. I think we'd probably respond in similar fashion. So here is Jesus approaching these experienced fishermen with a suggestion for which he has no training or experience. Just his opinion. Just his opinion. In the scripture passage, we've just enough feedback from Peter to know that Jesus' suggestion to let down their nets is completely illogical compared to everything these four men know about fishing. Based on all of their wisdom and experience, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. Now, the first criteria for any leader in a Bible-believing church is that they be a follower of Jesus. So we should commend Peter here because he responds solely on the basis of Jesus' word. Nothing else.
Yes, amen.
Nothing else. And folks, that's not only following, that's obedience.
Yes.
That's obedience. So Peter's experience and his knowledge become secondary to a suggestion by a man from landlocked Nazareth. Peter responded by doing exactly what Jesus said. As believers, we must recognize that when Jesus makes a suggestion, he'll work it out.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's going to work. It's going to work. Amen. Understand this, saints. Jesus doesn't need leaders. Jesus needs and requires followers.
Amen.
Followers. Jesus needs no one to teach him how to fish. And more importantly, he needs no one to instruct him concerning his church.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. Jesus uses people who are willing to listen to him and then do whatever he suggests. A valuable servant will be obedient to the master. Yeah. The result of Peter's first act of obedience was to the fisherman's well-trained eye, miraculous. Miraculous. Peter sees it right away. He recognizes that he does not even deserve to be in the presence of such a man as this. With the acknowledgement of his own personal condition, Peter bows before the master. This is humility. Amen. Peter's aware of his sinful nature and understands that this man has obviously come from God. So often, it appears that everything around the church is operating smoothly. But the irony of church work is that there are so many needs connected to the church that it is impossible to meet all those needs. It's a never-ending task. It is true for all churches, but even more so in smaller congregations such as ours. The interior of this building constantly needs attention. There's office work to do. It must be done. Bills paid, all the financial records kept in order. Purchases must be made to provide for the supplies that we use. They're constantly being used and we're constantly running short. But then there are the most important needs. Those are the people inside and outside of these walls.
Amen.
Amen. And the truth is, we have very few resources and even less people for all the needs to be met. But in this story, Peter's humility unfolds. He knew he needed God rather than God needing him.
Yeah.
He knew he needed God rather than God needing him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? As a church, we're stretched much thinner than we should be. But the truth is, like Peter, we shouldn't respond to God because he needs us. We respond to God and his call because we need him.
Amen.
We need him.
Hallelujah.
As a sinner, Peter thought he had nothing to offer. But saints, we know the end of Peter's story. He offered quite a bit to the cause of Christianity through the years. Amen? These scripture passages have taught us about obedience and humility. Now, I want to focus our attention on servanthood for just a minute. As these men drop their fishing nets and leave the boat behind, Jesus reveals to them their true vocation. From now on, they will be fishing for the hearts and souls of men and women. God's kingdom will advance throughout the earth because of their servanthood. The society in which we live provides an incredible number of choices. In fact, it seems like we have multiple choices for just about anything and everything. 100 plus years ago, when Ford vehicles ruled the world, or the roads, that you could purchase one in any color you wanted, as long as that color was black. Yeah. Now, today, you can really get a car in any color you want. I have seen the strangest colors on cars lately. They really, they hurt me. I love the automobile, and they hurt me. What are they doing to these cars? Okay? Any of us can choose a variety of hair colors.
Yep.
Right? I just personally like some hair. There's even a product that I can wipe on my skin and get a tan.
Amen.
When the church is over today, I can go eat any kind of food I want. Any kind. Any kind. Wow. We constantly tell our children that when they grow up, they can be anything they want. Every day we have a choice on what we will do, and to a greater extent than ever before, what we will be. We have choices of comfort, or gusto, or security, or fame. Jesus stands before these fishermen, offering them an entirely different way of life, but with a remarkable future.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Glory.
Yes.
Glory.
Jesus offers them a call. A call. Today we understand that every call will have a cost. It'll be a choice to go down one road that will effectively close a familiar road. We can do what we've always done, or we can follow him.
Yes.
Glenn, Joe, and Lee, you are each answering the call of God to these different positions of responsibility within the church.
Amen.
Rest assured that you will be gaining much, but remember, you may also be giving up something as well. This call from God will cost more than just a few nights and a couple more responsibilities.
Yes, it will.
Following God means that you give everything to him. You hand it over. You trust God with everything that concerns you and yours.
Yes.
You trust God with everything that concerns you and yours. But I can guarantee that regardless of the cost, God will make it worth your while.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
What the world can offer is nothing compared to the rewards that our Lord can give us.
Amen.
And will give us. So men, drop your nets and follow Him.
Yes.
Follow Him. Obedience, humility, and servanthood. Those are the marks of leadership. Those are the marks of discipleship. Jesus calls each one of us individually, and our response must be obedience, humility, and servanthood. This morning, I personally want to thank these brothers, Glenn and Joe and Lee, from the bottom of my heart for honoring God's call on your life.
Amen.
Amen. It's a great day in the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, it may not always be easy, but it will be your best life because the Lord your God has chosen you. And He will work in you and alongside you and through you to accomplish His will and His purpose. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, I would like to call these couples forward and just come and stand right here, Glenn and Carol, and Joe and Carol, and Lee and Joy. Glenn and Carol started coming to Turning Point Church in 1996. I looked up in the records, and since they've been here, they've worked as leaders in our church. They had a home meeting in their home for a long time. Bible classes. Carol worked with the ladies in the church, and just whatever they could do, they put their hand to. Amen. Joe and Carol came to the church in 1995. Joe's been Mr. Fix-It for not only in the church building itself, but all over. People call and ask for his help, and he gladly gives it. They were youth leaders at one time, took a couple trips to Mexico. One of those trips put Joe in the hospital when he come back. And I don't think he'd turn that experience back, give it back. When we were going to move from our other building to this building, I called these two into my office and said, "Can you do this?" And they hit the road running. We still wouldn't be in this building if it wasn't for Joe and Carol.
Amen.
Joy, of course, was here all along. She had no choice. She's done so much for the church. One of her responsibilities is cleaning the church, and she does that every week for us. Lee came around in 1998.
Wow, that long?
Long time. And he takes care of our computers and electronic stuff, and a lot of y'all's computers and electronic stuff and that kind of thing. He's been helping people for a long time, doing odds and ends that he can do, worked on rebuilding this inside of this building and that. But I wanted to say those things because these are not novices.
Amen.
They've been here.
Amen.
We know their experience. We know how they work. And we've been blessed, folks,
by them
being here. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to just line up the six of you across the front here. And I want to do a charge this morning. And we'll get to praying for you. Okay? And I'm addressing the men, but you guys are one. Like Bonnie said earlier, that's just as the head of the home, the man stands out. But so forgive. Don't take. I don't know what I'm saying. Glenn and Carol, Joe and Carol, Lee and Joy. This morning you stand before God in this church as having been duly appointed to the offices of pastor, elder, and deacon. You are men that, and ladies that God has chosen to serve his church as spiritual leaders and examples to the believers. These offices are not about positions or power. They are designed for servanthood. It is vitally important that you realize this is God's church.
Amen.
And not man's.
Amen.
You are not appointed only to help with the decision making of the church, but you are called to be a servant leader. Glenn and Carol, Joe and Carol, and Lee and Joy, I have recognized your servant's heart. So I am assured that you will continue to labor as the Lord's faithful servants. Turning Point Church has witnessed your desire to help others. Each of your lives has been a testimony to the glory of God. I'll be honest with you. Often people will examine the leaders more than they examine themselves, so that the leaders' mistakes are magnified while their positive qualities go unrecognized. However, as a leader, you are committing to represent the Lord and this church. So as you live and work in this community, we pray that your life will bring honor to God and will influence others for the kingdom. The offices you hold carry serious responsibilities, but the privileges and rewards far outweigh the burdens. At this point, I guess I left my handkerchief up there. At this point, thank you. At this point, I'd like to ask the six of you, thank you, brother, thank you. That took nerve to go out there. At this point, I'd like to ask the six of you some questions, and please answer, I will. That's all we receive. Do you promise before God and the church, this Church of Jesus Christ, that you will uphold the truth and doctrines of God's words?
I will.
Be a living example of Jesus Christ in this church and community by the grace of God.
I will.
Be faithful and regular in attendance, wholehearted in giving, open-minded in planning, and patient in seeking the solution to the problems.
I will.
Seek to serve with a servant's heart.
I will.
Assist the pastor in implementing and carrying out the ministries of this church.
I will.
Earnestly seek God's guidance in his will for this church.
I will.
Let me ask the church. These six have been set apart by God to fulfill a vital ministry in this church. They need your support and affirmation. Do you promise before God and these couples that you will pray for them, encourage them, and as they do the same for you? If so, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Eddie and Lane, would you like to come up here, please? And Glenn, get that chair and get this chair. And we want to take just a few minutes and pray for these folks here.
And before...
Here, come here. This is you and Elaine's microphone. We want to record all this, okay?
Am I on?
No. Did I?
Hello?
Let me see. It's on. It must be off back. You'll be on in 1 second.
All right. If I spit, you don't know what I'm doing.
I work for Walmart. You don't have me.
This is my companion, my wife, Miss Elaine.
Huh? Low battery.
Just change that one.
Test. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I got a loud voice anyway. I think most of the time you can hear me. But I'm actually going to go a little bit different from what Pastor said. I don't know if I'm different from what he said, because he never really told me exactly what I was going to do. He actually said to me, the Lord may give you a word. And he gave me a word. So I have to say that word. Unless I'm sat down. But otherwise, the first part of that word was to you. This is not a sitting down of you, but an elevation. You're a leader that teaches leadership. And God intends for you to continue to teach leadership. These are not ready to be on their own. They need you.
Amen.
This body.
Double amen.
And so God says continue to lead, to teach. There are no deficiencies in you that he will not address.
Amen.
The mind of the righteous is a blessed mind. You have a blessed mind. And God will not forsake you in any way. He says his eyes are always upon the righteous. And his ears are always open to your cry.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I didn't think he was going to give me anything, and I was really quite happy with that. Pastor was talking, and you know, I try to do just what God says, and that's really, really pretty hard. Because we have our own disposition, and God uses our dispositions. But you have to refrain yourself sometimes from going too far out. But Pastor said how you all love me, and he heard, you know, about me for 6 weeks after I was here. Mm-hmm. And I often wondered, if I was that good, why he didn't call me back?
COVID's the only reason.
So this morning, so this morning, I got the answer. He's such a great teacher.
Amen.
That was an awesome word.
Thank you.
And it went in with what God told me about you.
Thank you, sir.
It sure did. For the rest, and for all of us, actually, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
The word dwell there means to continue.
Amen.
That's what it means, to continue. What you are going into, don't get in front of your leadership. Continue. You were humble and you were people that were able to be seen, and you were people that once seen, there rested upon you a call to rise up. But remember, you're being pulled up, held up, you weren't pushed. So you're not above your leadership. How good to dwell together. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. The oil that is being poured upon you, the oil that is poured upon you, the oil that is poured upon you.
Amen.
Because it went down not just here, but it went down on the garments. And it says it went to the hems of the garments. Well, don't you know if it went to the hems of the garments, it dropped on the ground. The ground in which you stand is holy ground.
Amen.
The labor that you've been called to is holy, but it's a call to every single person in this room.
Amen.
I got sucked into the call. But it's still hard up. Yeah.
You got a phone call.
That's right. And I can't abandon what I said, I'll pray for you. So that's right. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. The blessing is here. It's been commanded here.
Yes.
It'll spread. You'll take it out.
Amen.
But obedience to where God called you means that anointing always flows from here for you. It flows from here.
Amen.
And it says, the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Hermon was a place that was low. But the mountains of Zion were very high. So that means that all of this anointing must be coming from a place much higher.
Yeah. Mm.
Amen.
And so the anointing is coming from God.
Right. Amen.
And it flowed down through the headship that God called here. And now it's that headship is growing. That headship is growing. Because you're now called into leadership roles. You hear me? You must act as one.
Amen.
You must act as one. Always. Stay in obedience and be able to function and dwell together. He says, in the book of Acts, that which I just read was Psalms 133. Acts chapter 2, verse 33, says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. That is where the Word of God says Jesus himself received from the Father. And then Jesus himself said, now I'm pouring this out upon all of you.
Amen.
That's what he said. So the call that's on your life started in heaven with the Father. Descended down with the Son.
Hallelujah.
And it abides in you and about you and around you and all over you in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is what God is saying to you today. And that is my prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That which you have ordained, that which you have called forth, the same anointing that is upon Jesus Christ, your Son.
Yes, Lord.
Who was the pattern man for everything that we must do.
That's right.
Then poured down, Lord God, upon that first leader that you called in this place. And then, Lord God, now it's growing. And it's being multiplied amongst leadership. And that now we are developing, Lord God, tiers of authority in this place. And Lord God, those of us that are here, that are followers and leaders, we are leaders within ourselves. But we will lead in our homes.
Yeah.
We will lead amongst those, Lord God, that we encounter and come in contact with. This anointing is an anointing carried by this entire body in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will all walk in the unity of it, in the obedience of it, in the servanthood of it, in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. 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 Why don't you keep that? I'm going to pray individually for these folks, and I think we'll just leave them standing here, okay, rather than sit down. But Eddie and Elaine, please join Bonnie. Come on.
Yes.
Come on, we're going to pray for each couple as they step out. Glenn and Carol, they've been elders in our church for some time, and have been a blessing to this church, helped this church so much, leaders of this church. But I remember he decided he was going to take early retirement, and he had several things to do, what he could do, but he decided to give his life to the service to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I almost leaped off my chair when he told me that.
Yes.
And I'm telling you folks that for years I have prayed that God would raise leadership in this church to take over, okay, at some time. I'm not immortal. And Lord knows what's in the future, but you got to have somebody that is responsible in that. And like I said, I almost leaped out of my chair when he come in and started talking to me about this. And praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Yes.
It's Him. And Joe's been a deacon, and we decided we needed him to be an elder. So we're promoting him to that position. And Lee's been doing the work around here for some time, and so we're going to call him a deacon. and we're proud that he is doing that work, and we can identify him that way. Amen? So can we just pray for a few minutes in the church? Raise your hand, put your hands toward these folks. Amen?
Yeah. I've got this oil.
Yeah.
And I'm going to touch you. I'm
going to
touch you.
Amen. I am too. So come on.
So I just want you to know.
Come on.
I won't spit on you. But I'm sorry, but God made people, you know what I mean, to touch you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about it, the laying on of hands.
That's it, man.
So listen to that. I have to do what he's saying. Right?
Come on, man. That's it.
Glory, hallelujah.
Remember,
I try.
Joshua did not take over.
Right.
To Moses was gone.
Right.
Elisha, he didn't take over.
Right.
Until Elijah was gone.
Right.
So,
you're saying I can't just leave. I got to go.
You got to work. Sometimes by our own disposition, we think things ought to be a certain way. But that same guy that obeyed Christ when he put the net on the other side, Christ had to tell him one day, that's stupid.
Yeah.
You listened to the devil. So know that our opinion, where God is concerned, really doesn't matter.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, here, right now, we are not this what looks like a couple, but it's really one.
Yes.
And so in the name of Jesus Christ, the call of God to pastoral. And Lord God, the call to learn pastoral.
Yes.
The call of God is in the heart.
Yes.
It is in their heart, and it is, Lord God, being saturated. Saturated meaning it is being complete. completed. It is being thoroughly throughout in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we are praying, not just for these two, but for all those that, Lord God, they must minister to.
Yes.
That, Lord God, we will not be stubborn sheep, but that, Lord God, we will be pliable sheep. Desiring, Lord God, to be led to the still waters. Desiring to be led into the green pastures and trusting God that He is operating through these, His people.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you equipped the call. And Lord, you've called Glenn and Carol, and Lord, your equipping is in them. And I just ask you to use that to minister to people. You're in a people business, Lord. It's not about buildings and paying bills and different things. It's about taking care of people. And Lord God, use them as pastors in this church to take care of people. And Lord, I praise you. I thank you for their obedience. And Lord, just use them as ministers in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Deacon?
They're elders.
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 Even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, you know, when you're in the elder spot, that means that you are operating in the wisdom of God. All of us should be operating in that wisdom. But as elders, particularly, you want to always ask God for wisdom every day and how to respond and how to answer things. Because you actually fit into a position that is in a place where it could be words could come that contradict leadership. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to bring conflict in leadership. So you have to always be wanting to be in a place where you are at one with the leadership.
Yes.
Yeah. And not allow the word elder to make you think that, well, you ought to be listening to me too. I'm called just like you are. You know, that's what happened to Miriam and Aaron there with Moses.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hallelujah.
I know you'll always do that, see, because you're going to be teaching him. So.
I think she does.
So what's this one?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father, thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, we lift up these two as elders. This is another tier of authority. And Lord God, these tiers of authority will function as one. And they will function together.
Yes.
And they will function in order in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord God, people are going to see this group and they are going to say, wow, look at what God is doing in unity in this place.
Yes, Lord.
And they're going to say, I think I want to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, we thank you now, for it will be you, Father, that will grow the church according to your desire.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. And Lord, I lift Joe and Carol to you, and I just thank you, Lord God, for all the times I've had to depend upon them, and they've come through. Willing to do whatever is necessary, whatever needed to be done. Lord, you put that servant's heart in them, and I just praise you for it, Lord God. I ask you to expand their vision, Lord God, to open their eyes to what you can do in their lives, Lord God, and the people they love and care about. And Lord, use them mightily in this church, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. This is my baby.
What's your call here?
just going to stand, yes, Deacon.
Deacon.
Stand beside my man.
He's just going to get up.
I said, what you want?
Yeah. It's a new day, a new time. You know, we're in an electronic age now. Not just in the old common way of doing things. God's anointing your mind to bring new ideas and new things. Don't be afraid when he starts to speak to you, new things. God wants to open your mind and show you things that you don't know and that you haven't even thought of. But he wants to open your mind to that. And so apply yourself to study of the Word. Apply yourself to time. You know, break away from her sometimes. But there is one called the Holy Spirit that wants to talk to you. And sometimes you have to get away from her to hear him. You know what I mean? Because she's going to always be here, so you got to know that. But God wants to do those things for you. And so that's your anointing, that's your calling. It's going to be a little bit different, you know. But it's going to bring us older people right along. It's going to be a blessing.
That's good.
Yeah. God's going to surprise you.
Amen.
And cause you to do things that you think you aren't supposed to do. Cause you to operate in ways of faith that you've been resisting and haven't done. But he's saying that it's time for you to quit resisting him and allow him to do what you know he's telling you inside your heart. So he's going to do that for you. And he actually is going to support you in doing that. He's going to be the one that encourages you to do that. Okay? So don't be afraid.
Thank you, Jesus.
Communicate with him.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid to communicate with him. Okay? And listen to what
Christ is saying. Hallelujah.
So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We have like an extra anointing here in Jesus' name. And so we're asking you, Lord God, that these new adventures and these new things that you're putting into their hearts, that Lord, they will heed your word. Not be afraid. I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. I want you to say that. Both of you. I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. And so, Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ. God says, you shall not want. Did you hear me? You shall not want. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
You just have to trust him. He says, in this place, the just must live by his faith. Did you hear me? Must
Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up Lee and Joy to you, Lord God, and just ask you to use them as ministers, Lord. Whatever the need is, Lord, open their eyes to see, and Lord, give them the equipment, the tools to do what's necessary to help. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry so far, and we just ask you to expand their horizons, their vision, Lord God, in you. And Lord, just bless this couple in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Please greet them on the way out. It might take a minute or two, but you're already late, so it don't matter. Okay? Okay? And bless them. Hallelujah. Carol. Hallelujah. This, I think, you know, Sunday afternoons I usually take a nap. I don't think I will today. I'm excited. I'm very excited. Don't know if I can lay before the Lord. And I do, this is good. This is good. It's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Pardon me?
God did
for this baby? You want me to tell it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Christy's husband's name is Vern. He's got a daughter that had, it was his granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
that was a newborn, and it got COVID. And it was very, very sick.
Wow.
Very sick. And Vern's daughter called Christy and said, pray. Well, they ended up gathering at the hospital. And they brought this baby to the hospital and they took it into the ER. They were praying outside at the hospital. Took the baby into the ER, and the ER, after checking it over, it doesn't have COVID. Take this baby home. It's doing fine. Everything is restored. Everything is restored. And it has to be done. It has to be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this day and this service, Lord God, and what it means to this church. And Lord, we give you thanks for wonderful people in this place. Lord, we've blessed six today, but we've gotten so many wonderful people in this place. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you in so many ways for this. And Jesus, be with us, keep us. Lord, bring us back safe, and I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I've got one more thing to say. You guys ought to hear this too. I fully intended to have a gift for them, but the truck didn't make it. And I got a phone call yesterday that the truck didn't make it. So next Sunday, I have gifts for these three couples, amen?
Amen.
And I'm sorry, I've done everything I can in the natural to make things work right, but the booger man, he's always after us, right? Okay, so hallelujah, God bless you, love you, amen.
Amen.
God bless, it's good to be here.